And you know what that sound means. Going to start really early tonight. Welcome to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. I am Khalif Sapnat Parniel, and I've turned the music off a little early, a few bars earlier than what I normally do, because I want to jump right into what we're going to talk about. Last week we were talking about frequencies, and we were talking about the Great Pyramid, Phi and Pi. And Phi being one-fifth of Pi, and golden means, or the golden ratio, or the golden triangle. And we were talking about how we are tied intimately as human beings to our universe. And we're tied through this math, through this geometry and trigonometry. And of course, when you start talking about trigonometry and the equations and calculations of that, it's a little complicated for some. So we are going to mute everyone out so that we can begin.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So that we can begin this discussion, because tonight I want to jump right in because Easter is coming. Easter is coming, and Easter is a very ancient and old celebration, but we again, shroud it and cover it with veneers of our religion, and we may have missed the actual significance of what it is all about. And I hope I'm coming in clearly, and I hope you can hear me clearly. So what I'm going to do here now is to just take a spot check and see if you can hear me. 662-702, can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming all over loud and clear. Very clear.
All right, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. I was wondering what 662 number that was, how many people we are picking up here in the Delta. Let me take just a quick sip of my tea. Easter is coming. Now, Easter this year, going to be, of course, on the 27th of the month. Last year it was in April. And that should raise some question marks along the brow of a lot of religious people as to why this resurrection date keeps moving. One year it is in March, and then another year it is in April. And if Easter is moving, that means crucifixion has to move too, because crucifixion takes place 3 days before or prior to Easter. So why is this death and resurrection date moving around on the calendar? Now, it's going to take quite a bit of answering and more than just religious platitudes in terms of coming up with a discipline answer that makes sense to answer that question. Why is this date moving from month to month? I mean, for an example, my mother transitioned this world, this life as we know it, on March the 24th, 1997. That date does not move. She was birthed or born on May 1st, 1915, that date does not move. That is the day that she transitioned. So, but here we have something in religion called Easter, which occurs this month in March, which in the Christian religion and faith is supposed to mark the resurrection of the Son of God. But it moves around. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it moving around? And that poses a very interesting question and allows me to throw something out tonight out of the Bible. I take the Bible and I do not discard or cast aside the Bible ever. But I do have a new context for interpreting the Bible. And I'll try to give some of that to you tonight. I'm going to look at two passages tonight, two passages in the Bible. And what I really want to look at is, besides the fact that we looked at last week that the universe is alive and that we are intimately connected to the universe by these calculations and these vibrations and frequencies, it ties us to the universe. But tonight I want to look at three suns, one, two, three, S-U-N, and I can show you all three suns. The first sun, obviously, you know, is above your head in the sky or in the cosmos or whatever you want to, how you want to phrase it, in the heavens. And the second sun, we don't hear much about the second sun. And that second sun is the pineal gland. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And that sun is in the middle of your brain, right in the geometric center of your brain, right in the dead slap, hope to die center, geometric center of your brain. There's something called the pineal gland, shaped like a pine cone. And it's about the size of a pea. And it sits in the middle of your brain. Well, that's your inner sun, or the sun, S-U-N, inside of your world, your body, your world, your temple. Then, of course, there is the sun that we learn about in Christianity, Jesus Christ. Now, that's very, very interesting because the people who wrote this Bible were Greeks or Hellenistic Jews, Greek Jews in Alexandria who wrote both the Old and New Testament in Alexandria, Egypt, was the capital of, is the old Heliopolis, is the old capital of the sun, or as in the book of Genesis, is called On, the city of On, which means the city of the sun, On, like O-N, On. So it's the city of the sun. And so these people who were there wrote this Bible heavily influenced by sun worship. So they chose a name for the character that we call Jesus in the Bible. And they wrote it in the Greek language, the Greek language. And when you write in the Greek language, each letter has a numerical value. A numerical value. So when you take each letter of the name Jesus in Greek, it adds up to 888. And interestingly, the city of eight, or the city of the sun, Heliopolis, or On, as it is called in the Bible, or you currently call it Alexandria, Greece, or Egypt, rather, not Greece, Alexandria, that 888 is the number of the sun, and that is why they chose that name, because it comes out to 888. So they intended for us to understand something about the sun, because 888 in Greek mythology is the esoteric number or representative number for the sun. So we have three suns. We have the sun, S-U-N, and it's obvious. I mean,
debatable. Without doubt, you can make that observation. You have a sun that's inside of your brain, kind of your brain. The geometric of your brain is the big pyramid. And in the center of the earth, so does the pineal gland sit in the center of your world or your being or your body, I should say. And then you have the God that we are given in Christianity called Jesus, whose name in Greek comes out to 888. And 888 in Greek mythology is the esoteric number for the sun. So we have three suns, three S-U-Ns. And we're going to look at this leading up to Easter because the word East Star or Easter, understanding that there were no vowels in the ancient languages, Easter or Easter, if you take the E-A off and just look at S-T-E-R and exchange the E for an A, you have star, Easter. So we're talking about something that has to do with the star or the stars. So Easter is a time that we can look to the star or sun, and suns or stars. Now, I'm going to read a passage to you tonight and to tell you in just a moment a little bit more about how I'm coming to this this point. Are you understanding what I'm saying, Frank? Am I making sense? Okay. We got three sons, right? Three sons. Pastor Abbott talked a little bit about it last week when he dealt with the number three. And I think he's on the line right now. So how am I doing, man? Am I doing okay?
I don't know. I just clicked on. But I know you're doing okay, whatever you're saying.
I was talking about the priest. Elijah, can you believe this guy? Tell him what I
did. No.
Tell him what I did.
That's our man, man. That's
well, you. You have
tell him what I just said. Tell him what I just said because we got a long way to go. Give him a 2-minute update so he'll know where we are.
We're talking about the three suns, and Dr. Kloof was breaking them down as the first sun being obviously our sun in the sky. Our second sun is the pineal gland. And the third sun is a Greek representation, which actually means 888. And that's the numerical. If you break it down from the Greek, and that is the esoterical sun. So that makes the three suns, and they're all very important. So that's pretty much the short synopsis there.
Yeah, so the third sun that we have comes to us in through the Greeks, who wrote both Old and New Testament, and they chose a name that would have a numerical value of 888. And 888 in Greek mythology is the esoteric number for the sun, S-U-N. So the character that we have that we call Jesus in Greek, his name comes out to a number that is the number for the esoteric or for the mythological or out of Greek mythology myth. And that means the sun. So we have three suns, one in the sky, one in the skull, and then the one in the soul, or that we call, or Jesus, that we call Jesus, the spirit that dwells within all of us. And we'll deal with that a little bit. I don't want to be confusing about that because religionists tend to. Now let's look at something that as we watch these three suns, I want to say that they all go through the same natural activity and order in order to bring us life within. Each one of these suns, they go through the same motion and go through the same activity. They duplicate each other perfectly. I mean, Jesus is born of a virgin, and then he is baptized by a baptizer. The sun in the sky goes through Aquarius, the water bearer. Jesus then moves to the sea, calls fishermen to follow him. The sun moves into Pisces, the two fish. Jesus is called the Lamb of God that is slain for the sins of the world. The Son moves into Aries, or the Lamb, or the Ram. The Son, Jesus, then is resurrected, bringing resurrection life. The Son moves across or passes over the equator in the Aries and moves in and brings new life to the earth. The earth has a resurrection, just like Jesus had a resurrection, because the Son passes through or over the equator. It begins to ascend after it's resurrected. Jesus had an ascension. He goes up to the Most High. The Son moves to the Most High point, into Cancer, and we get the longest day of the year. The Son does the same thing. They have the same activity and the same motion. Then the Son sits down on the right hand in Leo, which brings us the most hottest months of the year. And so the Son is in his glory on the right hand of God, and so does Jesus. Am I making sense? So I got some noise. I don't know. Am I making sense? Am I making sense, Abbott? He went on mute again.
Are you making sense to me?
Well, okay. Let's see if I'm
making
sense.
Yeah, you make sense.
Here
he comes.
Yeah, you making sense. And I need all that on paper.
You need all of what on paper?
What you just said. You just said something.
What did
you
I say?
You just said something heavy.
What did I say that was so heavy?
Well, you followed the whole story of Jesus from the sky, from what the Son does.
Yes, he did.
You just did every bit of it. I need to tell that something.
Well, we're moving toward Easter and on the 27th. So we're going to be talking about this for a little while. And I'm moving forward. Now, there are some other correlations, too. And my point, Abbott, is this. Is that the same motion and activity can be seen in all three suns. And I'm going to show you how that activity occurs not only in the sky, not only in the scripture, but also in your skull. The same motion that these three suns go through and activity are duplicated perfectly in the sky, in the scripture, and in your skull.
Wow.
Am I making sense?
So, yeah, no. I got you. Well, you know I didn't study the skull, so
it won't
be that hard for me to catch it.
So this same motion is happening up above us. The same motion is happening around us that we see happening in the scripture before us. Now, here's something else that's interesting. The sun in the sky is surrounded by 12 zodiacs are 12 constellations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see if I'm correct about that. Let's start with Aries. The Sun passes through Aries and then through Taurus and then through Gemini, then the Cancer, then the Leo, then the Virgo, then the Libra, then the Scorpio, from Scorpio to Sagittarius, Sagittarius to Capricorn, Capricorn to Aquarius, from Aquarius to Pisces, and then back to Aries. Is that 12? That's 12, correct?
Yep.
That's 12.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the Sun is moving around 12 constellations. And then in your brain, the pineal gland is surrounded by 12 cranial nerves.
Yep.
12 cranial nerves that are attached to, and these cranial nerves are carrying electrical frequency, just like the electrical frequencies that are occurring as the Sun passes through these constellations. There are electrical frequencies that are going on. So the pineal gland, which is the inner sun or is the light receptor of the body, has 12 cranial nerves, and these nerves have electromagnetisms in them, and there are 12 of them. That 12 of them.
Hmm.
Now, Jesus had 12 disciples. Go ahead. You get ready to say what?
So all three sons have the same activity, same motion, and it looks like they're duplicating each other down to a T. Now, vision has never made the connection that all three sons have the same identical motion. Matter of fact, it's offensive to religionists to even think or to contemplate the correspondence that I just made. It is a matter of offense, but it is also a matter of fact. But we've never contemplated because it's offensive, because we have been told to look into this is some kind of demonism or darkness or something that's pagan or heathen, when in fact that all three are tied together. I'm just trying to make this as simple as possible, to make it as plain so that anyone can see that what I'm saying is actually a fact. And since we are tied to nature and its activities, whatever happens in nature also happens in us, is what I'm trying to say. So as we approach Easter is coming. Actually, Easter is coming in us as well. Now, where am I? There's something significant happening, but I don't want to get sidetracked into that right now, because the 8th and 9th of March, I just understood there's going to be an eclipse, and there's going to be a super moon, and there's some things that we need to do with that super moon that will affect us in a very positive way, if we understand. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that tonight, because I want to talk about something else. But the 8th and 9th is very important. We do need to touch upon it before we get off of this, because this is a time you need to ground and earth. You need to take your shoes off. And if possible, dig a hole and get in the ground and cover yourself up. And earth, so that you become one with the earth and one with these energies. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, let's see where I am. Okay, I'm 30 minutes into the broadcast. And so that means I want to deal with something here that's going to be a little hard on the ears for religious people. Because the people that wrote this Bible never intended for you to take it literally. There was no literal virgin birth. There was no literal baptism of a person who was baptized in some river called Jordan. There was no literal crucifixion. There was no literal resurrection. There was no literal ascension. And some man that went someplace up in the sky sat down beside some other man on his right side, on his right hand. All of that is symbolic of the sun moving to the right side, being glorified. It happens annually in the sky. When the sun goes to the Most High, then moves over to the right, to the right hand, and becomes, in its brilliance, in its glory, becomes the most powerful at that particular position. And the same thing happens in our brains. We activate our right brains, and we activate our pineal gland. And the right brain, that energy moves over to the right brain to activate our right brain. We sit down at the right. That is all a process. Again, the activity and the motion that we see above us also happens in us, and that's what I'm trying to point out. Now, there's a good story in the Bible that I want to read to you. How am I doing, a lot of you? You want to jump in this conversation? I'll give you some room.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you're bringing up all of these things that the whole premise of Christianity is based on, and they simply are just not fact. They're part of the whole cosmological wheel of life out in the universe and also ourselves. So you're doing a fantastic job of explaining all this, and what I'm understanding too now is that it's also tied into the 12 zodiac signs, and depending on when we're born is, you know, what our characteristics are, and the energies that come from these different zodiacs. This is very, very intriguing to me. And it's amazing that they've used this the story of the heavens to manipulate and control humanity all these years through what we call organized religion. It's amazing.
Christianity is a beautiful story. The story that is told of Jesus is a beautiful story when properly understood, and we should never throw it away. Now, I'm going to take you to another person and another 12 and another sun and some other moons in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to show you something in this passage here, and starting, I don't know exactly where to start in this, but it says that it's a little bit of reading, so you all bear with me as I try to work this out. So Jacob is leaving his father-in-law, Laban, up in what we would call Lebanon now, and he's married two of Laban's daughters who were his first cousin. This man is married. Jacob is marrying two of his first cousins because Laban is his uncle, and he has two daughters. And those two daughters, if Laban is his uncle, that means that Rachel and Leah are his first cousins. So he's married to two first cousins, and he's got these children by her. And actually, he has 11 sons at this time that I'm going to read, but he also has a 12th son. So we're just going to throw the 12th son in there because it's almost like a given. So he has 12 sons. Now, he has 12 sons. Now, if we would say that Jacob is the son, and we know that he is called that later on when his son Joseph is born, and Joseph has a dream that the sun and the moon bow down to him. And in that dream, the interpretation was that the sun was Jacob and the moon was his mother, and the 12 stars were his brothers that bowed down to him and did obeisance or made worship or paid homage to him. So I'm not outside of biblical hermeneutics and interpretation or using metaphors that are bad, because the Bible itself says that Jacob is a son. So I'm just going to call Jacob the son tonight. And he's coming to a place, and he's going to reach a certain place. And I'm going to jump right down to verse 32, where he is, verse 30, rather. And it says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Peniel, interesting word, Peniel, wow. Here's a man that is the son coming to the son, Peniel, the Peniel, face to, and this place is called Face of God, to see God, face. He said, "I've seen God's face." And he named the place Peniel. So what is this telling us? What does this mean? What is the esoteric symbolism or the metaphysical interpretation of this? What we're talking about, exactly the same thing that I just told you. Here is a man that has 12 sons that will become 12 tribes, which are the 12 constellations, which are the 12 disciples, which are the 12 cranial nerves that are surrounding the pineal gland. So now, if what happens above happens below, then this story can also be placed in the context of something that is happening inside of us. There is something happening inside of us at pineal. Pineal is where we see God face to face. So the pineal gland, which is the sun in the middle of your body, which is surrounded by 12 cranial nerves, which carries electromagnetisms or frequencies or electricity, in short, power, negative and positive electricity, then this electricity is the same electricity that's in the sky, negative and positive, and it's a perfect duplication. It has the same activity and same motion. So if I want to see God, then I would want to go to a place called Peniel, the inner sun. And we're going to see the sun here in just a moment. We're going to see that literal sun. It's going to say something about the sun. It's going to say something about seven. But let me back up just for a moment.
because he has his wives, and verse 22 says he rose up that night and took his two wives, his two first cousins, and then his two women servants, who were the servants of his two wives that were his two first cousins. He was having children. If you go back to chapter 30 in Genesis, you'll find out that Jacob is having children by, and these 12 tribes that we call the 12 tribes of Israel are the prodigy or the descendants of Jacob copulating with his two first cousins and their two handmaidens. So he's copulating and procreating with four women to produce, let's see, how many sons. And his 11 sons have passed over the four Jabbok. All of this is beautiful. So these 12 sons that he eventually has by his two first cousins and their two maids are making a total of 12. And he gets to this place called where he sends them away from him, and he's left alone, so to speak. As the Bible says here in this passage, he's left alone, and there he's wrestling with an angel, an angel of light, an angel of electromagnetism, a frequency. That's what angel is. A-N-G-E-L is A-N-G-L-E. An angel of light, which means an arc of light, an angle that creates a certain frequency that stimulates his brain so that now he sees God face to face at a place, and he names that place Peniel. Of all of the things that he could have named it, he named it Peniel, and you have a pineal gland in your head. And if you're going to see God face to face, it will only happen at a certain angle of light or a certain frequency of electricity passing through your brain to open up your pineal gland so that now it throws a frequency to the right hand where you will be able to see God face to face. And it says now watch what it says, and my life is preserved. So while we're looking to preserve our lives with diet and pills and exercising and all of the things that we're being told today that have these kind of effects on us, it really boils down to one thing in order to preserve our life, to bring health and wellness and well-being to ourselves and to bring life to ourselves. And that's what we're talking about. That is the maintenance of this inner sun that is within you, which brings light, health and wellness and well-being to our planet. So in order to bring life, health and wellness and well-being to our bodies and to our existence and new life within us, we must focus on this inner sun, the pineal or pineal gland. He says, and I saw God face to face and my life was preserved. Now let me read on. Now he passes over Peniel. Now there's a slip. The writers here in the text in the next verse are playing with words. They're talking about the same place, but they exchange a vowel. And instead of it being Peniel, it's Penuel. But it's the same place because vowels are interchangeable. So instead of being P-E-N-I-E-L, it's P-E-N-U-E-L. But it's still the same place. It's still the same place. And that's just a way to disguise or to cover this knowledge from the unlearned people, only to those that can see, or the higher, those who have higher consciousness will know that it is the same place or talking about the same thing. Now watch. And he says, therefore the children of, and he passed over Peniel, and he halted up on the thigh, because the angel had touched him in the hollow of his thigh. Now that word thigh in verse 26 has to do, it's not the same word that we use in English for thigh. And the word here is yarok, which means the regenerative organs. In other words, this angle of light or electromagnetism touched him in the testicles. Let me slow down a little bit.
this angle of light, this angel he wrestled with, touched him in the thigh. The word thigh is yarok, yarok in the original language. And it's not the thigh that we speak of in the anatomy in when we are talking in English. It is the regenerative organ. So the regenerative organ, or the testicle, receives this electrical charge. Electrical charge from this angle of light that Jacob is wrestling with to assimilate this angle of light. And I could talk a lot about that, but I'm running out of time. So I'm gonna move on because I'm dropping some heavy stuff here, huh? Like,
yeah, you dropped some heavy stuff.
That's very heavy. Yes.
This has to do with the sexual energies that are necessary in order to raise the energy back up to the pineal gland. But it's all coded in this Bible. And so I'm just going to drop it like that and not try to flesh it out because I want to get to another point and I'm almost finished.
Then, sir, that would have to be the secret of the adepts and the sages of the... It's the great mystery of religion, isn't it?
Well, the mystery or the great arcanum is that there is a matrimony between sex and religion that they keep hiding from us.
Mm.
But I'm not talking about sex in a perverted way. I'm talking mm-hmm. about sex in a sacred way.
Mm-hmm.
And the matrimony, Adam and Eve left the garden together, and it was a sexual sin of having the orgasm, which was the forbidden fruit, that caused the death cycle to come in, to change the frequencies inside of our bodies, to alter our genetics to a point where even the birth process now is altered. But that's something that we dealt with in some previous weeks, but it's good to refresh the people in talking about that. But I ran across it here because this angle of light or this particular frequency, touch them in the thigh, the yarak. You can look it up. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Get you a Hebrew concordance and look up the word thigh in the Hebrew dictionary. And I guarantee you, it will say yarak, yarak. It will be the regenerative organ. So this angle of light touches, or this electromagnetic frequency, touches him in the regenerative areas of his body, which is very important, very significant. And we'll move on with this because it has a lot to do with Easter. Because the celebration of Easter, when you really think about it, a bunny rabbit. Now, come on, let's
fertility. Eggs.
Let's be real now. Rabbits do not lay eggs.
But no.
Let's not throw the story away. Let's try to find out what the meaning of the story is, and let's not throw the bunny rabbit and the eggs away.
Okay.
So if I put these two together now, it becomes clear that we're talking about procreation and regeneration and fertility.
Yes.
It becomes crystal clear that this pineal gland and this angle of light and seeing God face to face has something to do with the sexual energies and fertility. And there are some other considerations, but I'm almost done. So let me get to the point here. Well, I can show you one more point, and then I'll stop. Because when this chapter closes, it says that. Two more points. Let me try to get two more points. He says, "Your name shall be no more called Jacob," which Jacob means the circle, or the heel catcher, or the circle. That's what Jacob means. And that has to do with the circuit. Jacob has to do with the circuit or the circle of the cosmos or the circle of the zodiac. And when you see the ancient symbol of the serpent biting its tail or a man catching his heel, turning around backwards, one man extending his body in a yoga-like style, catch his heel.
Yeah.
That is Jacob. That is the Jacob circle. That is the zodiac. So this lets us know that we're talking about the zodiac. He says, your name will no longer be Jacob. But now watch what your name is going to be. Your name is going to be Is, which is Isis, Ra, which is Ra, the Egyptian sun god, Ra, and El. You have three Egyptian gods, Isis, Ra and El. El, Ra, and Isis. You have the feminine, the masculine, and then you have the El, which is electricity, where we get the word elder from. El.
Wow.
Elect in the Bible, elect of God, the elders of God, electricity, all of those have to do with frequencies, vibrations, and electromagnetism. Now,
wow.
I've just stripped away the religious veil and given you what it requires to be Israel. It requires an activation of the stimulation of the Yarok, or the regenerative parts of your body, from wrestling with a certain angle of life that then affects your regenerative areas so that the pineal gland is open, and then you therefore see God, and then you become Israel. It has nothing to do with any people over in Palestine claiming to be the only people that God has chosen. Israel is not a nationality.
Hmm.
Hello.
Wow.
Israel is not a nationality. If Israel is a nationality, then it's got to be an Egyptian, because all of these three gods, Isis, Ra, and El, are Egyptians. So then if Israel is any nationality, it's going to be an Egyptian nationality. Because
wow.
These three gods come out
of you're saying it's an activated conscience. That's Israel.
I'm saying an activated pineal gland that
yeah,
then activates the right brain, which activates, yes, I'm saying that, exactly.
Wow.
If you wanna sum it up like that. And let me get to this last point here, because and then I'll let you talk about it, because he halted, it says in verse 31, and as he passed over Penuel, the S-U-N rose upon him. Watch this now. He's having this experience. Look at verse 31 in Genesis chapter 32. And there it is. There it is, people. Right where we started with the three sons. There's the word. There's your son. You, unless you redact it out, color it out, black it out, it's right there in verse 31. S-U-N. It's esoteric. You can't approach this book like you reading Romeo and Juliet in Shakespeare, and the Veronian families of Tibble and Montague. You cannot approach this story like you read Midsummer Night's Dream, or you cannot approach this story like you're reading Mark Twain, The Tale of Two Cities. This is not that kind of literature. It has esoteric meaning. People that wrote these stories put secret, hidden meanings in them that point to a motion and an activity that happens in three places.
Wow.
Above you, in you, in the sky, in your skull, and in the scripture. The scripture is actually pointing you to the other two processes. But the scripture is written in code. It's written with a hidden meaning. And there are those who came along at some point about 1,700 years ago, and they decided to tell us that we were going to take the scriptures literally, that it literally happened, that these were literal people, and they did that to hide from you the information that I am giving you right now. I'll read it one more time. And as he passed over Penuel, let it soak in. That's the pineal gland. It has to be passed over. That's your Easter. Passover is Easter, people.
Passover, right.
As he passed over Penuel, as this frequency passes over the pineal gland, the sun rose upon him.
Hey.
There it is.
Now, why they won't let me teach this in their churches, I don't know.
Oh, I think I know.
All right, we're getting ready to open up the Q&A. I'm tired.
Q&A session started.
If you don't come in right away to get in this hot discussion about tonight, and Easter is coming, we got a super moon coming, an eclipse coming, and you need to get yourselves on the ground like Jacob to get these energies. Passover, Easter is coming. I'm trying to get you ready for Passover and Easter, because what happens up above happens in you. This happens annually. You can do this, people. You can do this. Get in the queue right now. I'm waiting on you. I am Khalif Zapnat Parnia. I'm waiting on you. Dr. Evan Watts, you put your mute back on. You need to talk. I said I was tired. When I get tired, it means it's time for you to talk.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that maybe...
You're not past the habit. Your name is not past the habit.
No, I thought you said me. I'm sorry.
Hold on a second. I said past the habit. I didn't say Elijah. That's close. 540.
Good evening, family.
Who are we speaking with, my brother?
I'm Rodney.
Hey, Rod, come on, man.
Hey, how you doing, Gail? Hey, my question is the releasing of the orgasmic fluids, that is affecting each and every one of us in a negative way. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Because you're letting out the life forces that were never supposed to leave the body, letting out electromagnetisms that have the power to create another being, and that is procreation. But procreation, as we know it, was altered because of the eating of the forbidden fruit, which is the orgasm. And this is why we die, because we let this orgasm and we let these fluids out. They were never supposed to leave our bodies. And that way the tree of knowledge becomes the tree of life. We begin to eat of the tree of life, which is the orgasm or ejaculation inside of us. It takes the sexual energies to get there, a male and female. You can't do this with a man and a man.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the female and male energy. It takes the Adam and Eve, positive and negative, the atom and the electron, the splitting of the atom, the removing of an electron to multiply. It takes both energies, negative and positive, male and female, Adam and Eve, in order to raise its energies, but that to create that explosion. But that explosion is not to be released outside of the body.
Interesting. Well, I joined late, and from what I heard this evening, just mind-blowing. So I appreciate all the information you provided. Thank you so much.
And you mentioned Gail. You said something to Gail. You know Gail, and you don't know me. I'm not offended, but I'm curious.
I know Gail from Facebook and her previous conference calls that I used to join.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on Facebook, too, Kelly. That's Pioneer L. Send me a friend.
But let me make this statement, though, okay?
Okay.
In speaking to her, she's spoken very highly of you. So the information that I'm receiving is a blessing. So thank you.
Well, we're glad to be of service to you, and we're glad that we have assisted you to go in and find. I don't tell anybody, and I thank Aladia. She's a gracious soul for speaking highly of me to people, but I don't want anyone pointing to me as any kind of deliverer, any kind of, you know, people misinterpret things, you know, and our egos get invoked, and I need to say this. I'm addressing something else, but I need to say this because, you know, I don't like it when people try to put a tag on me or anyone that they think that there are, you know, they're the only one. They're God. We all have an inner God within us, and the true God and deliverer is within us. The true Jesus is within us. I'm not. So anyone that sets themselves up to be my deliverer, I run from them. And I know I'm kind of going over the top with the statement that you made, but I'm using it as an opportunity to address some other folk that got some problems and some issues and some insecurities, and their insecurities try to, you know, it makes them try to put jackets on me and other people. And I'm not trying to be anybody's God. I tell everyone, don't believe what I tell you. Go and research what I tell you and know it. Know right. it to be true or know it to be false.
Right. Now, let me ask you.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you. I absolutely, I strongly agree with you. Let me ask you, if I've not been able to attend any of the previous conferences.
I'm sorry, Dub, you saying something?
Yes, you have a caller.
Okay, put him in. Go ahead, answer your question. Ask your question.
Oh, okay. I've not been able to listen to any of the previous calls, so those have been pre-recorded and saved somewhere?
Yeah, just call Elijah. Yes, she'll tell you how to get to that. Let me get to the other caller.
Okay, great.
And
great.
It's an
Thank
absolute
you very much.
Pleasure to talk to you, man. And
Elijah,
give him my number so that he can talk to me, personal access to me as well. I make myself available to everybody, and my days are quite busy, but I turn no one away, and I don't charge people. Am I crazy? I don't know. There are a lot of people out there that are charging, but my caseloads get very heavy sometimes. Okay, we got a caller. Come on in, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, my name is Hi Ruth, and I wanted to call and ask two questions.
Well, hello to you. Greetings, Hi Ruth, Hotep, and go ahead. If we can answer them, we will.
What I wanted to know if tonight's recording will be available to listen to later.
Of course, tonight, you can listen to it at BBS Radio. You can go to their archives. I do believe. Elijah, answer that question for her, please.
Yes, ma'am, you can go over to, BBS Radio would be a good place. And you just go to the World Priesthood Nation, and the calls will be posted, I believe, by tomorrow morning. You can listen to the recordings, and I believe all the other shows, too, from the past, if you have an interest in that. You can go, it'll be post, there's a recording number that you can just do a replay right after the show tonight, and that number is 712-775-7089, and the PIN is 568-788-pound, and you can listen to the recording there off the free conference
Thank
site.
You. Thank you. And
did you get that? Did you write that down?
I wrote it down. And I have one more question. There has been an announcement. There was an announcement last week where there was going to be a conference on how to raise your vibration. Now, as I listened to the call, I did not hear any directions as to where it's going to be held, how to purchase reservations, if there's any need to do so. I just didn't get information on that conference that's supposed to happen in April.
Well,
and
you know, that's still up in the air. I'm in a heavy litigation now with some forces here in the Delta that have stolen some property from me from our ministry, from our organization, our corporation that we bought. And I'm still trying to figure out whether I'm going to have this event or not. But I'll give you the information, and you listen to whether or not we have it. This litigation that we're involved with is very complex and very complicated.
Yes.
And I need to make it public at some point that there's a lot of corruption going on right here in Mississippi in terms of organizations using government agencies and officials and investors and corporations to steal land from people. And they've stolen land 2 months after we bought this land. They stole more than half of what we bought and purchased to an act of fraud and non-disclosure, I should say. So, but nonetheless, I use that as an opportunity to make this public. But the event about raising your frequencies, we have a 13-step program that we want to introduce that will help you to raise your vibration. Now, I can give you part of that here now, but it's not going to be the same as if you were here with me, because it's very easy. You have 12 systems in your body. Those systems must be attuned and harmonized with cosmic frequencies. Now, there are a lot of interferences and a lot of hindrances that have been weaponized that are pointed at you to keep your frequencies lower so that there is no harmonic resonance between you and the frequencies above us. We teach you how to get around the music, the food, the GMOs, the chemtrails. We teach you through several ways how to activate or how to harmonize the 12 systems in your body that correspond to those 12 constellations that we talked about, that the sun passes through. Because the sun, or that force, that life force within you, is the 13th. If you notice on the back of a dollar bill, there's a star above the eagle's head. And there are 13 stars in that star. Well, that is the Merkaba. That is the Metatron. That is the Metatron's cube. That is you. We teach 13 steps, beyond 12 steps, to harmonize your frequencies back with planetary and cosmic energies. Now, the tentative date that we have for this event is April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And the location will be Greenville, Mississippi, right in the heart of the Delta.
Yes, indeed.
Delta has the richest, most fertile soil in the continental USA because of the strong ley lines that create a magnetism that pull the mineral deposits from the Mississippi River. We're 7 miles from the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. Pull the mineral deposits into this area because of the ley lines, because of the magnetism. So there's nowhere in the United States of America you can get stronger magnetism than right here in Greenville, Mississippi.
And absolutely.
Our presence here is not an accident.
Look,